You just need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can sense that God is here to meet every need. And I know we've prayed for the sick, but here in just a little bit, we'll hear from the Word of God, and then anybody's welcome to come forward. You'll receive some instruction as to when to do that, but come with faith. Jesus, right now, I'm bringing my need, and I'm trusting you for my miracle. Can you say amen? Amen. Please don't think that's for somebody else today. That's for you. That's for me. That's for every single one of us. And I know it's already been mentioned, but we do love when guests come to Heaven View. And we also love this great church family, all the work that you are doing to reach across town and around the world. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. I know the Marriage Matters team, man, you blessed us last night, everybody that was a part of that. Wasn't that awesome? They really did a great job. We want to thank you for that. And then I want to say a shout out of thanks to the team that heads to King today and to Taylorsville. Thank you for helping us with grace in those places, having church and seeing God's kingdom advance. We appreciate that very much. And now I want you to stand. Just let me give you some instructions first. If you serve in any ministry, not just what I just mentioned, but somehow, some way, you are serving under the banner of Heaven View in some aspect of ministry here or even outside of this church, through this church, would you stand? We want to give you an ovation right now. Stand and remain standing. Let's give all of these people a great big hand. Just remain standing, because there are some of you not standing that should be standing. If you are serving in any capacity, we want you to know that we appreciate your efforts very much. You're making a difference. And this week, of course, we have revival this Wednesday night with Brother Aaron Bounds. It's going to be awesome. Also Friday night, both of those services at 7:30. But Thursday evening, if you're standing, or if you should be standing, if you serve in any ministry at all, we want you to come 7 o'clock. We're going to have a little time to say thank you, but also to provide some direction. And then Brother Bounds will be speaking briefly. And we want you to know we appreciate everything you're doing, and we need you to come this Thursday night. It's going to be great. Now, everybody else stand. We're going to get into the Word of the Lord a little bit here. And if you were not standing, but you're thinking, man, I'd like to be more involved in ministry, and you've been through cross training, please come. Let us know, hey, I'm ready to get more involved in the ministry of the church. We want more hands into the harvest, and you can certainly be a part of that. Directing your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Just one verse, and we'll give you a little bit more information as we get into this a little bit. But verse 18, it says, while he spake these things unto them, Jesus is talking to a crowd, and while he's talking, there is a certain ruler that comes and worshiped him. And he said, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. What amazing faith from this man. There's some different ideas about it. When you read the various texts, it appeared that his daughter was about to die, just 12 years old. By the time this all unfolds, she actually does die. So the miracle that Jesus needs to attend to is not just a healing, but a resurrection. But he's okay. He's God. He can handle that. But what a tremendous, tremendous act of faith, that when it looked like all hope was gone, here's this man worshiping Jesus and saying, Lord, if you'll just come to my house, everything's going to be all right. This man had a lot to worry about, but he had a lot of faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a little bit of a unique way to say it, but I think it'll help by the time we get through. I'd like to preach to you the way from worry to wow. In other words, leaving that place where you're just stressed out, you're just convinced it's falling apart, but you're going to take some steps in a direction where you know when I get to the end of this road, wow, the miracle's going to happen. The way from worry to wow. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Those of you that have the Holy Ghost, could you pray in the Spirit with passion right now? There is the opportunity for the gift of faith to operate. So as you pray right now, would you just pray and press? Press through the doubt. Press through the distraction. Pray until something happens in the atmosphere. Let's everybody cry out to God for just a few moments right now.
I love you for it, Jesus. I bless you for it, Jesus. We can do nothing without you, God. God, connect my heart with the heart of this people. Don't let flesh get in the way. Let the gift of faith operate right now. Let the Spirit of God operate right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, I wonder right now if you would clap your hands and thank the Lord for what he's going to do for you. What he's got planned for you, everybody. God, I know you got something right now for me. God bless you. May be seated, and thank you for praying and worshiping with such passion today. It really does make a difference. As we serve the Lord together, we are not exempt from trouble. Amen? It rains upon the just and the unjust. In Bible times, rain was a good thing. That meant the crops were going to grow and there'd be plenty of food. And the Lord did not discriminate. In most cases, you know, if the godly farmer got rain, the ungodly farmer got rain. God is just merciful. And sometimes we don't realize how much blessing and mercy is flowing our way, even when we're not aligned with the will of God. That's just how good God is. But now when we speak of rain, we speak of trouble and pain and anguish and heartache. And man, I never thought this would happen. And yet we know as well that even that kind of rain comes to the just and to the unjust. And so we all know what it's like to worry and to wonder, God, what are you doing? And we all must make the journey from where we are in that particular area of life where there's a great need and that place in life where God comes through in a supernatural way. There are many verses to help us as we make the trip along the way from worry to wow. And one verse I'd like to remind you of is in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5 indicates that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I know that good people go through bad things, and I know that godly people have struggles and trials, but God will keep us. By his power, we will make it according to his word. Now look at 2 Corinthians 1. I love this verse, and it speaks of God in verse 4, comforting us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 4. That's why they're taking a little while having them look for that verse in the wrong part of the Bible. I'm just trying to see if they're awake back there. But think of that, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 4. We go through trouble. We go through trials. We got situations that happen. But as we turn to the Lord, He comforts us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. And then wouldn't you know it, as we're just bebopping along through life, we run into people. They got trouble too. They got struggles as well. Who better to minister to hurting people than someone that knows what it's like to hurt? But we can say, when I was hurting and when I was helpless, I turned to the Lord and He comforted me. He helped me. And now I'm going to help you with the help He gave me. That's the mission of the body of Christ. And so, yes, there are times we worry and we wonder, God, what is going on? But in that process, God can take what the enemy means for evil. He can work it for good, because as God helps me through my trouble, I can help you through some trouble with the help He's given to me. That's not just for me. That's for everybody in the house. Whatever your trouble, whatever your trial, you can say, God, help me so I can help somebody else. Oh, I feel like I got a witness here. I feel like there's people in the church that know, God, you're using this. That's why we often quote from 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. That's not a verse for the sinner. That's a verse for the saint. There will be trouble. There will be trials. There will be problems, but He's keeping me by His power. And all of you are so polite and so gracious and kind that if we preach that way, you'll clap, you'll shout amen. But we can also say that there are times that, even though we know that in our heads, we're not so sure in our hearts. We can quote the verse, we can respond with excitement when we hear the verse. But there are times when we are so troubled that we wonder, where is the miracle, God? Where is the answer, God? Where are you right now? I could use some wow right now, God. And it seems like I'm just waiting on you. And while I'm waiting, I'm worrying. In fact, I told somebody recently, I've got a whole list of things in my life where when I needed God, wow! He responded to my faith and the miracle came. But there are other situations where He kind of indicated through time, I just want to see if you'll trust me. My challenge is trying to figure out the difference between, is this going to be God responded to my faith or God teaching me to trust? But the point is this, all of us can relate to that. And while we are on our way from the worry to the wow, we do need to trust in Him. We do need to depend upon Him with this sense of awareness and expectation. God always knows what's best. God always shows up on time. God will never leave me or forsake me. And when I speak His name, Jesus, He is here to help me and to bless me. Now, this pattern of waiting on the Lord, it begins all the way early in the Bible, in the Old Testament. I'm not going to point at every example, but I do want to pick out a few very quickly so that you know this is not something that just started when you started having trouble. This has been with the people of God for a long time. In the Old Testament, there is an individual that was mightily used of God. His name is Samuel. We would know him as the prophet Samuel. And all of Israel had respect to his words and to the fact that he could hear from God. In fact, if you study his life, you will discover that when he got to the end of his life, he turned to all the people of Israel and said, "Okay, you judge my life. Have I deviated at all from doing the will of God?" And the people had to acknowledge, "Samuel, you truly did follow the Lord. You truly did obey God. And when you spoke to us, we knew we were hearing from God." But Samuel, even though he was a true man for God, there are instances in his life where he truly had a lot to worry about. I don't want to read all the verses, but you do a word search for Samuel as you do your Bible study this week, and you will discover the time when Israel came to Samuel, and they said, "We know that God has been leading us, and you as the prophet has been speaking to us, but really, Samuel, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a king like they got kings. We want our government and our structure to be like the world." And Samuel took that so personally that the Lord looked at Samuel one day and said, "Samuel, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me." But that shows you the state of mind of Samuel, that when the people of God wanted to be like the world, Samuel took that personally. Just like a preacher. Just like a pastor, if I ever discover that in this church people want to be more like the world, boy, I take it personally. I'm not going to get into that today, but that's just an FYI. So you'll know, well, I wonder what he's all worked up about. Because sometimes God has to tell me, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. That'll preach a while, won't it? You'll have to come back some other time. I'm sorry about that. But not only did Israel backslide, but in his own family, his sons turned away from the works of God. So much so that the people said to him, "You know what, Samuel, we trust you, but we don't trust your kids." This grieved Samuel. This caused him to worry. "God, where are you? What's going on? Here I am, the man that's trying to speak for you. All I got is trouble." And then to top it all off, at least for the purposes of us moving along, remember, if you study your Bible, ultimately Samuel was used of God to anoint a man by the name of Saul. And so think about it. Israel has rejected the Lord, and his own family has rejected the Lord. But Samuel gets his hopes up because there's a man that stands head and shoulders above all the rest, and he's humble, and he wants to be what God wants him to be. And so Samuel takes his oil and he goes under the direction of the Lord, and he anoints Saul to be the first king of Israel. But if you've read your Bible, you know even Saul walked away from the Lord. And so here is Samuel, worried and stressed. He's got all of this purpose and passion, and it seems like it's not working out. And so, God, where is the miracle in all of this? Where is your blessing in all of this? Where is your touch upon my life? And so I think I've got you ready to read this verse. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 1. And very quickly, I'm going to take that Old Testament story and I'm going to make it apply to your life where you are today. Verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. That boy was David. All of us have heard of King David, but this, just leave that verse there for a little bit. This is so critical that you understand that God had to get a hold of Samuel and say, Samuel, how long are you going to weep over this disappointment and this rejection and this area of life that has let you down? Somehow, Samuel, now you have drifted away from the purpose for which I called you. What you need to do, Samuel, is you need to stop your weeping and you need to fill your horn with some of that oil and you need to get back to doing what I called you to do. I pull that out of the scripture to say to somebody today that if you want to make your way from worry to wow, you've got to reach a point where you say, enough of this weeping, enough of this being disappointed, enough of this just looking at my own problems. I've got to fill my heart with oil. I've got to get some more of that anointing, and I got to get back in the game. I've got to do the purpose of God, and while I'm doing the will of God, he will bless me. He will help me. Oh, would you clap your hands with me as if to say, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Now, I know it's an Old Testament story, and I know I gave you a little bit of history, and there was a risk that some of you might have fallen asleep, so I raised my voice a little bit, and most of you stayed with me. That's behind the scenes how it all works. But think about it in your own life. It's fairly easy to withdraw from the presence and the purpose of God when your life becomes filled with worry and disappointment. Some people stop coming to church. Some come to church, but they're not connected. And they, in fact, they begin to resent church more and more because everybody looks so happy. But even though people shake your hand, they can't see in your soul. So you just assume, well, they don't even care about me. What's happening? You're drifting away from the purpose and the presence of God. And nobody can pat you on the back enough to make up for you drifting from the presence and the purpose of God. Nobody can listen to your troubles enough for that to make up for you drifting away from the purpose and the presence of God. What's happening? Sometimes we let the disappointments of life and the worries of life and the stress of life and the pain of life, it causes us to take a back seat to what God has called us to do. When we were on fire, man, we were in the prayer room. When we were on fire, man, we were inviting people to church. When we were on fire, man, we were in the altar praying with people. But now that we have been so disappointed, we have been so worried with all the ways that things have happened, and we want the miracle. We want to be healed. We want to move forward, but we're kind of just staying cowered in that place of fear and frustration. And you know what we failed to do? We failed to let that anointing oil flow through us again and get us back in the zone where the purpose of God is our priority. Let me speak to some sweet heaven view faithful. I know who some of you are, that you have drifted away from ministry. You've drifted away from being up front and center in the work of God. You may point to this excuse and that excuse, but I want to caution you, if that drifting has also led you to drift away from more of his presence in prayer, more of the kind of worship that caused the Holy Ghost to flow through you, until you're not just worshiping your way, you're not just praying your prayers, but the Shekinah glory of God is taking over your life. I warn you today that you will never get past your worry. You will never get past your disappointment focusing on yourself. Amen, amen, amen. You've got to shake yourself, Samuel. You got to get some oil back into your horn, and you got to do the work of God. You've got to pray for the lost. You've got to pray for the sick. You've got to reach for those that God has called you to reach. Can you say amen? I believe we could use some wow right about now. Maybe when you come to the altar here in a few moments, You'll just raise your hands as if to say, Lord, fill me with that oil one more time. Stir up that gift inside of my life, Lord, until the purpose of God, until the presence of God becomes my priority. Because there's a David in your future. There's someone God wants to use mightily, but he wants to use your influence so that that person will know the will of God for their life. But while you've taken a detour from being focused on God's purpose and God's presence, there are souls that you influence that they'll never be the David that God has called them to be if you don't step up and say, God, give me enough oil in my lamp. Give me enough oil in my life so that I can influence somebody to be what you want me to be. Heaven View, would you make that your prayer right now? Come on, especially those of you that serve in any kind of ministry, would you raise your hands and say, God, I don't want to serve in ministry without the oil flowing. I don't want to just have a position in the church without the oil flowing. I don't want my disappointments and my worry to cause me to take a back seat to the purpose and the ministry that you've called me. Oh, my Lord, speak to us right now. And I tell you right now, if you just say, God, let me have some oil today, I promise you, you would have a wow moment in the presence of God. You would have a wow moment in the house of God. And while you give yourself to his purpose, he would give you a victory that saturates your life and helps you get past the worry. Can you say in Jesus' name? I know we get worried. I know we all get disappointed. I know, you know, there's time to see people running and jumping and shouting. You're like, well, they must never have a problem. You have no idea. But they've learned the secret. You can't stop now. Here comes the wow. You can't get worried now. You got to stay focused on your purpose. You got to stay focused on his presence because he will not let you down. Can you say in Jesus' name? There is a season of wilderness wandering for all of us. You know what I mean? God's made a promise. There's a place for you in my kingdom that's awesome, but there's a wilderness between here and there. Amen? It's all through the Bible. There are so many people that had an opportunity to quit on God, to give up on God. So many people that had an opportunity to say, I can't take it anymore. One of the famous examples in the Bible was Moses. Remember 40 years being raised in the palace of Pharaoh, 40 years of looking like he's who's who in Egypt. He's going to be great. He's going to have prominence in his world. But then God takes him out of that scene and places him in a wilderness for another 40 years. Why? Because ultimately God is trying to tell Moses, yeah, you could have stayed under Pharaoh's toenail and you could have been something prominent in the world, but I'm raising you up for a higher purpose. I'm raising you up for a destiny where you will literally be one of those men that I use to set the captive free. So 40 years in the palace and 40 years in the wilderness, just so that that last 40 years, he can see the glory of God. And here's the thing. The wilderness whooped up on poor brother Moses so much that when he's looking at a burning bush and God is speaking to him, now that's pretty cool. If that little bush over there started burning and God started talking through it, some of y'all would wake up. But Moses, he has this encounter with God that's supernatural. And God begins to reveal, I want to use you. In fact, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him, let my people go. And some of you know what the Bible says. Moses began to make excuse for himself. I can't do that, God. There's no way I could go to Pharaoh. There's no way I could talk to him. You cannot use me, God. Now think about that for a moment. Moses was brilliant. He had been schooled by the best schools of Egypt. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. I mean, he had the key to everything. He could walk wherever he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. But 40 years in the wilderness has made him so insecure that he's even afraid to go talk in the places where he used to feel like he was somebody. That's what the wilderness can do to us. That's what worry can do to us. That's what stress can do to us. That's what disappointments can do to us. That season of life where we felt confident in ourselves. That season of life where we felt like, man, I can do this. I've got some gifts. I've got some skills. It seems like God allows a wilderness to come. God allows some weariness to come. God allows some worry to come. Why? Because he wants you to reach the point where you're not confident in yourself, but you have a desperation for him. So the wilderness is not supposed to make you insecure in yourself alone. It's supposed to make you confident in God. I may be nothing, but he is everything. I may be nothing, but with him, I can do all things. Can you say amen? To the degree, and we'll pick up in Exodus 33. And verse 13, this is Moses speaking to God. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses speaking to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you ain't going, I'm not going. If you are worried about something right now, and you have been through a season of disappointment that you could describe as a wilderness, the purpose of God allowing you to go through that season was not so you would withdraw from ministry, not so you would withdraw from his purpose, not so you would become consumed with your ideas and your agenda and your life is so filled with everything that matters to you. That was not the purpose of your wilderness. The purpose of your wilderness was so that you would pray as you have never prayed, so that you would seek the word of God as you have never sought the word of God, so that you would reach that point of desperation where you would say, God, if you're not going, I'm not going. I used to be confident in myself, but now that I have worried, and now that I've been through the wilderness, and now that it seems like my own hopes have been disappointed, my own plans have been disappointed, I've finally reached the point, Lord, where you really can use me, because I've discovered if you're not going with me, I'm not going. If you're not anointing me, I can do nothing. Come on, my brothers and sisters, you are on your way from the worry to the wow, but you're never going to get to the wow focused on yourself. You're never going to get to the wow just doing your own thing. You're going to have to get into the presence of God until something gets a hold of you, until the oil flows through you, until you say, God, my life is nothing. Can you say in Jesus' name? One songwriter said it this way. I won't sing it. I don't want to hurt anybody. But he said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Can you feel that in this atmosphere? One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. What if all that worrying is supposed to lead you to building an altar in your life with a fresh passion for more of God, with a fresh passion for more of His presence, with a fresh passion for more prayer, for His Word, until you don't really think you can do much on your own. But I see Him now. I see Him now. And when you see Him in your trial, when you see Him in your struggle, when you see Him in your heartache, when you see Him in your... Too many people go through enough trouble that all they see is themselves. This is how I'm going to work this out. This is how I'm going to take care of this. I talk to some people and I say, man, I'm praying for you. And the answer I get is almost like, hey, don't worry, I got this. God, have mercy on us. Because we are just prolonging our season in the wilderness when we are calculating and analyzing how we're going to get through this. There's something about that worry that's supposed to cause you to say, forget just playing church. Forget just going through the motions. I've got to have a touch of God. I've got to have my oil flowing. I've got to have His Spirit working until I reach the wow, until I reach the place where the miracle does happen. But everybody knows it wasn't me. It was God. Everybody knows it had nothing to do with what I thought. It had everything to do with His plan. Is there anybody that would raise a hand and say, oh God, that's me. I'm on my way from the worry to the wow. And I realize now here in this wilderness, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to seek Your face more. I'm going to cry out to You more because I know this is not the end of my journey. This is not the end of my story. This is not where it stops for me. I need a wow right about now. So I'm going to love God. I'm going to press through in prayer. And I'm going to see His glory. Can you say in Jesus' name? Praise God. Let me just make this comparison and we'll move on. And I know I got to wrap this up. I'm a little bit fired up right now. I'll try to cool off here in a minute. Moses, you grew up in Pharaoh's house. I bet they was all patting you on the back as a little kid, man. You're going to be Pharaoh someday, Moses. We're going to educate you better than anybody's educated. We're going to exploit your talents, and Moses, you're going to own this place someday. But when he went through the wilderness, God broke all of that out of him. Until the Bible says he was the meekest man. God could use him that way. But think about David for a moment. He grew up and his daddy and his brother said, you're nothing. You're a nobody. But in his wilderness, watching those sheep, he would just love God. He would just worship God. He would just, you know, meditate upon the Lord. Maybe even write some songs. I don't know what he was doing, but the point is this. He got something in the wilderness. He got something out of the weariness of people saying, you're nothing, David. He got something out of the worry and the stress and the disappointment. Wow, my dad chooses my brothers, but he leaves me on the sideline like I'm nothing. Somehow in the wilderness, with all of that worry, he was able just to get closer to the Lord. He was able just to get closer to the Lord to the degree that when lions and bears came, he could defeat them. You know why? Because he was depending on God. My goodness, that's what worry is supposed to do for us. That's what the wilderness is supposed to do for us until we realize, wait a minute, I can do all things through Christ. It has nothing to do with me. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I've got all these worries. I've got all these disappointments, but I've got God. And so the reality is this. None of us can decide how we're going through the wilderness. God allows us. And sometimes he chooses for us. But all of us determine how we're coming out of the wilderness. Am I going to come out of my worry closer to God? Am I going to come out of my wilderness closer to God? Or am I going to become self-absorbed with self-pity until I take the reins of my own destiny and I'm convinced I've got to do it my way? I would like to reject that today. I would like to refuse that today. And instead, I would like my prayer to be, draw me close to you and never let me go. I lay it all down again, Lord, to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, because nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You don't have to suffer the loss of everything to draw nearer to the Lord. If you allow the loss of some things to say, I gotta have more of you in my life. All this worry, all this disappointment, it makes me want to pray. It makes me want to seek your face. It makes me want to have something from you, Lord, that I've never had before. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. What if that is the way from worry to wow, when God allows us to be broken just enough to say, that doesn't matter anymore. This doesn't matter anymore. What I think is so important doesn't matter anymore. What I think about myself doesn't matter anymore. All I want is you. As the musicians come, would you raise your hands and make that your prayer right now? You're all I want. You're all I need. You're all I want. Let me be closer to you, Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. I feel the Spirit of God moving here. I feel the presence of God moving here. And I believe that we're about to have some miracles happen in this place. What we need right about now is wow. Wow. Look what God just did. Wow. Look how God just moved. Well, here's how it's going to happen. Think about Jairus. That's that verse we started out with about 2 hours ago. Remember, his daughter was dying. By now she's dead. I preached so long. But he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you will just come to where my daughter is, I know everything's going to be all right. I know she can be healed. So guess what Jesus says? Come on, let's go. And they start walking. They start walking because there's a 12-year-old girl. She may be dead already, but Jesus is the answer. We need a wow right now. Been a lot of worry, but we're on our way. And I know if Jesus can get there, wow! But if you read your Bible, you'll find that on their way to touch a 12-year-old girl, there is a woman that breaks Jesus' focus on that 12-year-old girl, and she pulls at the hem of his garment because she had been sick for 12 years. And everything stops. In fact, stop the music for just a minute. Stop the music for just a minute. Everything stops. We were on our way. The music was playing. We're going to Jairus' daughter. Everything's going to be wonderful. But everything stops. And Jesus says to this man that all he can think about is my daughter. All he can think about is Jesus. I told you she was about to die. I'm sure this lady's need is important. But my daughter's about to die. And Jesus says, no, you got to look at this, Jairus. You see this woman here? She just touched me. And because she's touched me, she's completely healed. Now, we know enough about the exchange of information and conversation that the disciples and no doubt Jairus discovered that lady had been sick for 12 years. Jairus, you think you don't have anything in common with that lady, but you both have one thing in common. You both have a 12-year-old problem that only Jesus can solve. And the reason why I stopped the music, Jairus, the reason why I stopped our journey, Jairus, because the only way you're going to get from worry to wow is to take your focus off of yourself and off of your problem and focus on somebody else that you may not know what their deal is. You may not know what their struggle is, but God knows. They have a 12-year-old problem just like you have a 12-year-old problem. You can start the music now. I'm here to tell somebody today, you may be a guest here, you may have been in this church for many years, but your journey from worry to wow is not just by you coming up to this altar right now and just crying out to God for what you need. What you need to do is join us in the altar and look for somebody that may have a need. You don't have to ask any questions, you don't have to take a survey, but you come to this altar and you say, Lord, you know what I need, you know what I'm worried about, but I'm just going to pray for my brother, I'm just going to pray for my sister, I'm going to pray for my friends, I'm going to pray for our guests. Why? Because there's something about the journey from the worry to the wow that focuses you off of yourself and off of your pain and off of your problem until your focus is, Jesus, you can do anything. And if you could touch this person, you can touch me. If you can heal this person, you can heal me. If you can help that person, you can help me. Would you stand and would you raise your hands right now, right where you're standing? Then would you say, in the name of Jesus, I receive every miracle that God has for me today. In the name of Jesus, we receive the miracles, the wow that God has for our service on February the 12th. Lord Jesus, this congregation is filled with people that are worried about different things. But in these next few moments, you're going to give us miracles, signs, and wonders. You're going to give us healings and blessings. Come on. Everybody pray that way. In the name of Jesus, I believe right now, God, somebody's going to be filled. Right now, God, somebody's going to be thrilled. Right now, somebody's going to be healed. Right now, something's going to happen in somebody's life. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now here's what I want you to do. I'm not just speaking to people that are part of this church family. I'm talking to anybody that's listening. If you are worried about something in your life, and I know it sounds kind of silly, but you could use a wow right about now. You could use a miracle in a situation. And you're not ready to tell everybody your business, but you know there's stress, there's worry, there's frustration. If you could use a wow in that area of your life, would you just come and stand right here, right now, quickly? Just come and stand. If you can come and stand. We're not going to ask anything. We're not going to embarrass you. You're going to be standing with other people. And in a moment, we're going to pray. If you could use a wow. I'm talking about, there are some things I'm worried about. There are some situations I need God to help me with. There are some areas in my life that only the Lord knows. But I need a wow right about now. Look at this. This is awesome. This is awesome. All right, please, please, before you pray, I want you to make room around you for other people that are coming in behind you. Come on, everybody. We're gonna pray in just a moment. Don't stress about it. Don't stress about it. We're going to pray in just a minute. But right now, we want to make some room. We want to make some room. Come on, everybody get ready. Come on, we're just saying, God, this is what I've been worried about, but I could use some wow right about now. I could use a miracle right about now. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. What I want you to do in just a moment, I want men with men and ladies with ladies, I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of somebody just like I'm doing right here with Brother Bibb. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray with passion for that person's need the way you would want somebody to pray with passion for your need. I don't want you to focus on yourself. I don't want you to focus on what you need. I don't want you to focus on what you're worried about. But I want you to pray until the Holy Ghost takes over your prayer for that person. And while you're ministering to them, while God gives them their wow, God will take care of your wow. Come on now. Come on now, find that person right now. Find that person and pray for them the way you would want somebody to pray for you. Pray in the Holy Ghost by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus.